alone. It was shouting out of every square inch of creation and exploding in every molecule in God's good earth. It was a crashingly loud symphony coming through the best surround sound system you've ever encountered, hitting you from all angles at the peak of intensity. Yet now, it's a dying whisper, a fractured song, a broken melody only brought back into the right key at the feet of Jesus. Genesis 1 Christians start the story with an appeal to the fact that all human beings on earth have inherent worth and value because they were brought to life by God's very own breath. They are living creatures standing in the gap between Creator and the rest of creation. All of creation, God spoke into existence, but with us, it said we were formed. God got particular and creative with us human creatures. He rolled up his sleeves when he made us and declared us to be imago Dei, image of God. He did not call us broken, sinner, or failure, which means our primal identity, the one most at the depths of who we are in our very bones, is one given by the Creator himself. We are his. While it is true that after Genesis 3, we are sinners, we are still made in the image of God, no matter how broken that image is. Beauty is more primal than the curse, and we were children before we were runaways. Think about it. When a temple gets destroyed and there is just rubble and remains on the ground, it is still a temple. A broken, cracked, messed up temple, yes, but it's still a temple. Its primal identity doesn't change. It didn't magically turn into an apartment building or a deli when it crumbled. It's a broken temple that has no hope of fixing itself and is in need of a massive restoration from the ground up, but it's still a temple. So it is with us. When we start in Genesis 1, we tell a story that is more beautiful and much bigger than most Christians today tell. A story that needs to be heard by the world. We don't have a hard time realizing how messed up we are. I know I'm broken. I know I'm deeply flawed. I know I'm not good enough. You don't need to shout those things out at me from the corner of the street with your sandwich board. I already know them. But you tell me I have inherent worth and value based on who made me, not what I do and think. Really? Are you sure? But that's subversive. In a culture that continually strips humans of dignity, homelessness, exploitation of poor, objectifying women, abortion, euthanasia, and so forth, we have to return to shalom. We have to return to that special declaration God shouted over humans thousands of years ago in that wonderful garden. So God created man in his own image. It doesn't matter how hard you scrub. In this life, you can't get the image of God fully off of you. Now, from a personal to cosmic level, there is another vital distinction in making sure you start where God starts the story. When you start the story in Genesis 3, personal sin is the biggest problem in the world. Sin management is the problem, and Jesus arrives simply to pay for your sin. The world doesn't matter. Creation doesn't matter. Only we matter because in Genesis 3, the story zooms in on the human condition. Now, is that true? Of course. But it's not all of the truth. When you start in Genesis 1, you start with shalom, not just of humans, but of all creation. When God created the world, it had perfect peace. There was this beautiful dance that the trees, the animals, the water, the sun, the rhythms of life, and the living creatures Adam and Eve were all doing. No one missed a step. But when sin came into the world, it...